The reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43, and can be found on page 840 of your pew Bibles. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, came and, seeing him, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked round to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered it, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, but he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, James. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the witness of your servant Mark, as he points us to our need and to your love and power. Please grant us an increase of faith this evening for your great name's sake. Amen. Well, it's the last one in our present series from Mark's Gospel. I'm sure we'll be back. But we come now to these two extraordinary miracles in chapter 5. Very well known miracles. They seem very different in some ways, but they're woven together. I'm sure you noticed that. And I don't think that's a coincidence. They have three great themes in common, which we'll be looking at together in these few minutes now. The helplessness of people like us, the supreme love and power of Jesus Christ, and our struggle to believe and trust in him. So first of all, the helplessness of people like us. Here's Jesus crossing the lake and arriving on the further shore only to find a crowd waiting for him, probably a local crowd this time. We're not told they were from everywhere, and probably they're from curiosity. They've heard something about this teacher from Galilee, but they didn't know much. However, they would have known, all of them would have been familiar with, Jairus. Jairus was a synagogue ruler, and he had an important role to play, something like a combination of a church warden and a town councillor. So would have been known to most of those certainly in the crowd. He was a local VIP. He had responsibilities, he had status, and yet here he is, throwing himself at Jesus' feet and begging him, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." You can hear the desperation, can't you? His helplessness. And some of us may have had some experience of that with our own children, and you do feel completely helpless when they're seriously ill. But I think underlying this is the idea that really, in the end, we're all helpless at the approach of death. She's at the point of death. There's a point at which people seem to have gone past the point of no return, and you know there's only one way they're going to go. And we can't bring them back. We are powerless, as Jairus painfully discovered, of course, later on, and as we'll see. But into this helplessness comes Jesus, and Jesus goes with him. He doesn't ask questions. He doesn't stop, even it seems, to consider. He goes with Jairus. And of course, the crowd go with them. You know, why wouldn't you? They're curious. They want to find out, how is this going to end? But in the crowd was another helpless person. And so the focus shifts from Jairus to this poor woman. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and who had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And our first impression is how very different she is from Jairus. Jairus, a man of status, a man of importance. This poor woman, an outcast. If you know your Bibles, you will know that any association with blood made you unclean straight away. Unclean spiritually, unclean physically, really completely beyond the pale. And she's only equal with Jairus in one respect, and that is in their helplessness. She is helpless, just as he is helpless. She's been sick for 12 years. She's been to every doctor going. None of them could help. She spent all the money in the meantime, and she's not getting better. She's getting worse. Helpless. Now, these days, we tend not to think like that, do we? We tend to think the doctors will help. We tend to think they've got the answers. And of course, you know, they often have, and we should be very grateful for that. But sometimes, as we also know, it's limited what they can do. And one day, we will all be beyond the help, even of the best doctors ever. So here's the story of two helpless people. Jairus, whose little daughter is dying, and the woman with the hemorrhage that would not stop, woven together in Mark's gospel. And underlying it, I think Mark reaching out to all helpless people everywhere, including us. Mark writing probably for his Christian friends in Rome initially, facing terrible persecution for their faith, a little minority in a great pagan imperial city, threatened by a new emperor who's just out for blood. And Mark saying, look, things are bad. We're helpless. But so were they. And let's see what happens. Let's see what happens when the helplessness of people like us meets the supreme love and power of Jesus Christ. Because for the woman in the crowd, it all happened very fast, didn't it? I don't know whether you noticed that as we were reading. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" Immediately, immediately, immediately. It all happens straight away. And of course, this is unknown, really, even today. When you have a chronic illness, that's an illness that's gone on for a long period of time, on and on and on, you don't just get better just like that, do you? If you get better, which you hope to do, it will be gradually. But this poor woman who's been suffering all these long years gets better straight away. What the power of the doctors couldn't do over 12 years, Jesus does in a moment. It's like turning off a tap in one sense. But in another sense, it's not like that at all, because this is clearly a personal moment. Jesus knew. She touched his garment, but he knew that in all that jostling crowd, one person had reached out to him in her helplessness. And it's like, this is something unseen, isn't it? But Jesus saw, he knew. It's like the Creator knows, and she's in touch, literally, with the source of creation. Though at first, secretly. So that's the woman with the flow of blood. We'll leave her story for the time being, how her helplessness called forth the supreme love and power of Jesus, because, of course, she was healed, but not the daughter of Jairus. In fact, quite the opposite. The terrible news comes while Jesus is still speaking. There came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" It's that bluntness, isn't it? Just that hammer blow that falls on Jairus. Okay, while she was still alive, there was some hope. But now all hope seems to be gone. There is no way back from death, humanly speaking. And these people knew that the little girl was dead. There's no doubt about it. They knew death when they saw it. And they saw it often. It wasn't hidden away like it tends to be now. They saw death almost every day of their lives. So they knew very well that she was dead. Overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." But they laughed at him. They laughed at him. I've read the wrong verse. I meant to say where Jesus says to him, "Your daughter is not dead but sleeping. The child is not dead but sleeping." Here they are weeping and wailing. But Jesus says, "She's asleep." They laughed at him. So their despair, their helplessness turns into cynicism, which it can do. And they were facing someone who was not helpless. And they mocked him. But you see, Jesus was only speaking the truth, because to him, death was no more than a sleep. And he proved that, didn't he? By going in and taking her by the hand, and we know the exact words that he said to wake her up. "Talitha kum," "little girl, I say to you, arise." Talitha kum is Aramaic. It's one of those rare occasions in the gospel where we know the actual words that Jesus said. He spoke Aramaic, the local language. We hear his voice. Talitha means actually a little ewe lamb. So, "little lamb, arise." Arise. Get up. The time to get up. It was tender and it was loving, but it was also a command. So here is Jesus fully in command of life and death, and clearly showing who he was. Who's got the power of life and death? Who can restore life? Only the one who created it in the first place. And of course, once again, Mark is pointing forward from this little miracle to the great supreme miracle of Jesus' own death and resurrection, pointing forward to the culmination of the gospel. Because this is the beginning of the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. And pointing forward to the victory that Jesus would win on behalf of us all. And in this foretaste of that victory, the child's parents and Jesus' disciples are astonished. Of course they are astonished. They've never seen anything like this before. And of course Jesus tells them not to spread the word, because the world's not ready to meet its creator and redeemer. So we've seen the helplessness of people like us and the supreme love and power of Jesus Christ. And finally, we see our struggle to believe and trust in him. Both Jairus and the woman in different ways have a struggle to believe. Her faith at first seems superstitious, doesn't it? Just touching someone's cloak, touching someone's clothes seems a kind of superstitious faith. Well, clearly, it was faith, and it worked, but Jesus wouldn't leave it at that. Jesus wanted to meet this woman face to face. She needed that. And he was determined to speak to her and draw out her faith in public. His disciples, of course, were incredulous. Well, you know, what are you talking about? You're surrounded by a crowd. You're being bumped into and jostled the whole time. What do you mean someone touched you? But he says, no, someone touched me with faith. And imagine the turmoil that she was in. The woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And this is a kind of example to all of us of how we know our faith is real. How do we know? Well, we know our faith is real when we confess it before others. Hard, we find it hard. We don't do it boastfully, I'm sure. We do it in fear and trembling. But it's not as hard for us as it was for her, and it's not as hard for her as it was for Mark's friends in Rome. And yet, the message is, if we don't do it, we'll never know whether our faith is real or not. We'll be in that kind of shadowy land of uncertainty until we confess our faith in him. And when she came and confessed our faith in him, what did she hear? Well, these wonderful words, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Not just any old faith, not just kind of random abstract faith, but faith in him, of course. In that encounter with him, as she confessed what had happened and had her faith wonderfully confirmed. So that was her struggle. What about Jairus? Well, we have to say that Jairus has had faith right from the start. Why would he come to Jesus? Why would he humble himself and fall at Jesus' feet if he didn't believe that Jesus could help? Of course he did. Come and lay your hands on her that she may live. And yet he has a struggle. Because there's a delay, isn't there? It doesn't happen instantly for him. Quite the reverse. Jesus on the way gets distracted, as Jairus would feel, by this woman. Well, surely his daughter's more urgent. Surely this woman can wait. We're speculating, but we can imagine it, can't we? Because we're familiar with this ourselves. We know what it's like when we ask for something, when we pray earnestly for something, and it doesn't seem to happen. There seems to be a delay. What do we do with that delay? It's hard, isn't it? It's easy for us to think this through in cold blood. We realize, I think, that if we always got instant answers to our prayers, our faith would never grow. It would stay very mercenary. In fact, it would be indistinguishable from self-interest. Of course I'd ask if I know I'm going to get straight away. But what if I ask and I know I may not get straight away? What if I ask and there's a delay? What then? Well, Jairus doesn't give up. He goes on with Jesus, and another worse blow falls when he hears that his daughter is dead. Was that the killer blow to his faith? It's certainly his acquaintances thought so. They thought this was a waste of time. Why bother the teacher any further? You know, no point trusting him anymore. But what did Jesus say to Jairus? We need to look at this carefully. I read it out earlier. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." Of course he was afraid, but Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Go on believing." That's what it is. It's a continuous present tense. You believed before. What's changed? Go on believing. I'm still the same. I'm still here. The situation seemed hopeless, but not to Jesus. And that's why he puts all those weepers and wailers outside, and the cynics, out, out, out. No place for them in the household of faith. It's the same word used for cleansing the temple, chucking out the moneylenders. He turns them out and just takes his closest disciples and the girl's parents. Just takes those who have shown some faith in him already and shows them that their faith is fully justified. Little girl, arise. It's a great moment, isn't it? And we should think about how that applies to us. What do we do when that blow falls? When the very thing we've prayed about doesn't happen? The very thing we've asked not to happen does happen? What do we do then? Well, we don't, I hope, listen to the cynics or the weepers or the wailers. I hope we do what Jairus did, which is stay as close to Jesus as we possibly can. You believed before. What's changed? He hasn't changed. And stay close to others, too, who have some faith in Jesus. We're all strugglers. I'd like to meet you if you've got a perfect faith in Jesus. I think I'm safe to say, we're all strugglers. We need to struggle together, help one another to believe and trust in Jesus Christ in spite of whatever the difficulties may be. Because if there were no difficulties, if there were no problems and setbacks, we wouldn't need faith, would we? Faith would be redundant. So whatever happens, I hope, however much we're struggling, let's remember Jairus and the woman in the crowd. Let's remember the helplessness of people just like us, the supreme love and power of Jesus Christ, and our lifelong struggle to believe and trust in him, because one day there will be no more struggle, just face to face with Jesus forever. Amen.